Okay, good evening, Chanukah Sameach. As we know, tonight is Chanukah, and I wasn't really sure what to discuss, but a young woman from the shul emailed me right before, and she said, here's the question. She's away now, she's in Los Angeles, and she's visiting her brother, and she wants to know, should she light her own Chanukiah, should she light her own Chanukah candles, or should she contribute some money to her brother and have her brother's lighting be motzi her? That's the question that she asked me. So I wrote back to her. I said, dear so-and-so, actually, I have to admit, at this point in my life, I'm getting a lot of emails. I don't always begin, dear so-and-so. So if I begin your email, dear so-and-so, that means you're really important. But usually I write so-and-so, first name. Rav Soloveitchik said you should contribute money. Rav Moshe Feinstein said you don't have to. So she writes back, and now what? So the now what is, I'm not sure. The now what is that this question is a very big question in Hilchos Chanukah. It's a question of an achsanai, a guest. Does a guest have the right, if he or she wants, to light his or her own Chanukah candles? Or does the guest have to be yotze with the Baal Habayis? And as we'll go through this question, I think we might hit on some of the fundamental lessons of Chanukah. So, are we ready to learn Torah?
Let's go. But didn't Rav Soloveitchik famously say that he's not posek, that he
yeah, the Rav, but let's be honest, the Rav Paskin Shaila is every, as you'd say in Yiddish, Mitzvah and Darnishtek. Every Wednesday and Thursday is Paskin and Shaila. So, the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Gimel, Amar Rav Sheshes Achsenoi Chayiv Benir Chanukah. Rav Sheshes says that a guest is obligated in Chanukah candles. Amar Rav Zeira, Meirish Ki Havina Beirav Mishtatafna Bepriti Bahadei Ushbiza. Right, what Rav Sheshes is saying is that when I was young, I would contribute coins. And now that I'm married, my wife lights candles for me. So I don't have to contribute coins. Right, basically, Rav Sheshes was a student in the yeshiva. Right? And he used to contribute coins. Like, I think it's something like what they had in Europe, that yeshiva students would live, they'd be boarders in someone's home. So originally he would contribute coins, but after he got married and he's no longer a boarder, so his wife would light, he still remained in yeshiva, but his wife would light Chanukah candles for him. Someone from the shul sent me a question. She's like, you know, can I light Chanukah candles? And if my husband is staying late, you know, at work, can I light for him? So I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the case in the Gemara. Yeah, I mean, I didn't, like, say emails. Like, you don't have the same tone. You just type, yeah. And people are like, yeah. They don't know. It's like, yeah. It's a toy. My brother-in-law pointed out that Yiddish is the richest language ever because it's the only language in the world where I means something different than ayay, which means something different than ayayay. Right? Think about it. It's like the brilliance of the Yiddish language. Fine. So, that's the Gemara. Now, what is the Chiddush in this Gemara? So the Chiddush in this Gemara is as follows, right? The new idea the Gemara is teaching us is that the mitzvah of Chanukah candles is, as the Gemara says in the next source, it's a mitzvah of ner ishu beiso. It's a mitzvah that's incumbent on the household. Now, therefore, if you're a guest, you don't really have a house. Now, let's say someone, Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, it should be our responsibility to eradicate this. Let's say someone is homeless. Does the person light Chanukah candles? So the basic answer is no, right? In order to light Chanukah candles, you need a house. If you don't have a home, right? People ask, I get this question, I'd say 5 times a day now, right? I'm going to be flying from Jochenplatz to Aishashuk, right? And where do I light Chanukah candles? Well, what time are you leaving the apartment?
Airplane.
What?
Any
Any place but on the airplane.
It's strongly recommended, Frida is pointing out sound advice, do not try to light a candle on the airplane. If you so do, so help you God, let us say amen. Right? Do not try to light a candle on the airplane. But what do you do? So some poskim interestingly say that Hashem has a tshuva, that he says, you know what? A house is a place that you own or a place that you rent. When you're on, he's not talking about airplanes, he's talking about trains. When you're on a train, effectively, you are renting your seat. So that's your house. Now, in theory, I guess you could light a candle on the airplane, but Frida told us that's a bad idea. So what I recommend to some people to do is take a flashlight, a battery-powered flashlight, and turn it on. A battery-powered flashlight, according to most poskim, say that electricity is not sufficient for Hanukkah candles, because Hanukkah candles requires a wick, and it requires that you have the oil in the container. Now, if I have one of those plug-in menorahs, so I don't have the oil in the container. The oil is the electricity that's coming from the power plant. But if I have a battery-powered flashlight, so my batteries are oil, no? You have to think about this like a warped London. The batteries are oil. And the wick is the filament inside my light bulb. Assuming you have an old light bulb. They used to have these types of light bulbs that had filaments, no? Remember?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So, if you skip two sources, just to speed this up a teeny bit, the Ran over here comments, right, that Amar Rav Sheshes Achsanya, Oreach, a guest, Afal Bisha Ein Lo Bayis, a guest, even though he does not have a house, that don't say, Delo Tema, Din Ner Chanukah is like Mezuzah, that if you don't have a house, you're exempt. The Chiddush of Achsanya is that even if you don't have a house, you can still light Chanukah candles by contributing. But what we have to figure out is what mechanism does this work by? That's our question, right? If we're right that the mitzvah of Chanukah candles is a mitzvah that's incumbent on the house, and I'm a guest, I don't have a house. By the way, Rashi writes in Sukkah that if I don't have a house, that's when there's a special bracha on Chanukah candles called Birkas Haro'eh. No? If I walk outside and I see a Chanukah candle, I can make the bracha She'osah Nisim, even though it's not my own candle. Rashi says the case is this fellow who is living, Rashi can't imagine a homeless person. Baruch Hashem, maybe they didn't have them in Truries in France in his time, but right, it's a person who lives on a boat. Doesn't have a real house, Rashi says. Okay. So what's the mechanism that this works by? Now, let me just summarize very quickly. I think there are two approaches. Can actually divide up into way more than two different positions. But one approach is that if I'm a guest and I give money to the homeowner, to the host, what I am actually doing is I am purchasing part of the home. It becomes mine. And when I purchase part of the home, so I'm lighting Chanukah candles as a homeowner. The cheapest deal, best real estate deal ever. One penny. Right? Awesome. Amazing. Right? That's one approach.
So all you have to give is one penny?
The Gemara says, Achsanai mishtatif bepriti, that you give pennies. Shulchan Aruch has an expression that you give a penny. That umiyu bepruta shenotain is enough. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Now all you need is one penny. So let's say a halachic penny is 3 cents. So give a nickel. Right? Most of us can probably find that we afford a nickel, and not so difficult.
We can acquire a wife for that kind of money.
We try to prefer not using the term acquire in that sense. Thank you. But, yes.
It's the best deal around.
What?
He said it's the best deal around. Right, so there's a couple.
Okay. Whenever Rav Schechter speaks about the first Mishnah in Kedushin, right? So he says, Isha Niknes, Bepruta, Beshvei Pruta, right, with the value of like a penny. So Rav Schechter says, it doesn't make any sense. Your wife is either priceless or worthless. That's the way. That's his... It's actually a nice turn of phrase in some ways. Okay, so one approach is that I become a homeowner. Another approach might be, not that I become the homeowner, but when I give the coin, what I am doing is I am symbolically doing some action to participate in Hanukkah candle lighting. It's effectively like shlichus, like a messenger, like an agent does it for me, but we don't allow shlichus by Neris Hanukkah. We say contribute some money and that will sort of help. But there's a third approach also. And the third approach is saying that, you know what, in our world, you don't have to contribute money. If you're a guest, you can light on your own. You see, the Gemara in Shabbos Chafala from the base, the second source, tells us that there are three tiers within the mitzvah of Chanukah, right? It's unusual. Most mitzvahs, right, everyone does the same way. But the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the Gemara says, that it's a mitzvah for the house, mahadrin, have a candle for each person. No? In my family, I have me and my wife, and then there are five children, right? So we would have seven candles, right? We'd have seven candles. The first night of Hanukkah, also seven candles. By the way, if you want to freak people out, try to do this, no? You could really, people are going to think, hey, what's that? You say, Vilna Goyen, or something. You say, right? You light seven candles the first night. And then there's this concept called Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, which means that you go from, according to Beis Hillel, 1 to 8, according to Beis Shammai, 8 to 1. Now, there is a school of thought that the Beis Yosef quotes from the Trumas Hadashim, that once we are doing Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, Mahadrin min hamahadrin basically means that we have every family member lights. My six-year-old, Yosef Dov, it's so cute. He like sits there trying to say the bracha, and it takes him a long time because he's learning, he's in first grade. He has Rabbi Hoffman. So he's reading it inside. It's like very cute. It like, takes like 10 minutes to get the bracha out. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. The Beis Yosef quotes in the Trumas Hadashen that a guest, if you want a light on your own, you can. Once the mitzvah morphed into Mahadrim and HaMahadrim, that every person lights on his or her own, no, which I think is the standard practice, so a guest could also light. Rav Soloveitchik, however, and Rav Moshe Feinstein paskens that way. If you want a light, you can. Rav Soloveitchik, however, felt that no, if you're a guest, you have to contribute. You can't light on your own. And this is actually a very old machlokas. Here, look in the Beis Yosef. It's like the fifth source. Kasa b'Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, by the way, has the best batting average of all poskim. Every single tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen makes it to Shulchan Aruch. Every wow. single one. That's called batting 1,000 in German. No?
Yeah.
So the Trumas Hadeshen says, a guest, a married guest, if you want to light and make a bracha, because of hiddur you can. Don't rely on that to make a bracha she'natsuricha. Now, what the Trumas Hadeshen is saying is that if the guest wants the light, you can. Beis Yosef says, nagada, you can't do that. Because it will be a bracha that's unnecessary, and we don't make unnecessary brachos. So that's Machlokas, Trumas Hadeshen, and Beis Yosef. I thought that this Machlokas might be dependent on how we translate the word Mahadrin. How do you translate the word Mahadrin?
Preferable.
Or enhanced, no?
Yes.
If I want to do the mitzvah in a more enhanced way, my father told me that in Yiddish the expression is Iber Farbesert und Farkunst. No? My father remembers as a kid, he's walking in Montreal past the Yiddish theater, and it says that they're putting on Shakespeare, Iber Farbesert und Farputzt, right? The only thing that can make Shakespeare better is if it's in Yiddish, right? That's obvious. Now, the simple way to understand Mahadrin is that you enhance the mitzvah. However, look at Rashi here in Shabbos. Rashi, source number 3. Mahadrin, Achar hamitzvos, Rashi writes. Mehadrin, according to Rashi, does not mean hidur, that I enhance the mitzvah. It means someone who is chasing after mitzvos. Someone who wants to do more mitzvos. The first explanation of Mahadrin is qualitative. The second approach to Mahadrin is quantitative. Hadron Allah, that we will do it again. Nachamo, right? It doesn't mean hidur in the sense of nicer, shener, besser. Doesn't mean it's better. It means hidur in the sense of I'm doing more. Hadron Allah, I'll do it again. Right? Now, I think this might be the dispute on some level between the Trumas Hadeshen and the Beis Yosef, no? The Trumas Hadeshen says, Mehadrin changed the nature of the mitzvah. Every family member is lighting. That means that we're doing more mitzvahs. If that's the case, if you want, we see that in Chanukah we allow people to do mitzvahs. You know, it's technically not necessary. One candle's lit in the house, technically that's enough. But everyone's going to light. Why is everyone going to light? Because everyone wants to do it. More people doing it. Quantitative. Now, if Mahadrin is quantitative, a guest could light on his or her own. But if Mahadrin is qualitative, if Mahadrin means I am enhancing the original mitzvah, so then the guest, right, what do you mean? The guests don't got no mitzvah, no? So that's another way of explaining this dispute. Okay. Now, there is a... So, Mehadrin could be one of two things, and there's this dispute whether, if the guest wants, the guest could light on his or her own. The common practice is that the guests light on his or her own, no? Yeah. But Rav Soloveitchik felt, nope. Rav Soloveitchik felt basically what the Beis Yosef says, that you have to contribute money, you can't light on your own. Okay. Now here's the question. How does contributing money work? So, the standard approach is that when I contribute money, I am purchasing some oil. No? Mm-hmm. Purchasing some wicks. There's a problem here. In Chosh and Mishpat, we paskin that there are different types of kinyanim. There are different modes of acquisition. Right? If I want to purchase an elephant, so the behema gasa is nicknames b'mesira. You give the reins over to someone else, and that's how you sell the elephant, no? A small animal, you can purchase by lifting it up, no? I could purchase... I can make a kinyan on a box of matzah for the entire community, for the Erev. I lift it up on behalf of the community.
The Erev
Tavshilin. I lift up on behalf of the community, no?
Yeah.
You make a kinyan that way. Great, beautiful. There are other kinyanim, a shtar, certain things I could buy with a document. Some things I can't buy with a document. No, in halacha, if I want to buy a lulav, and I write a document that says that I, Shmerel, hereby sell the lulav to Ezra Schwartz, it doesn't work. Metaltilin, movable items, you're not going to acquire with documents, no? What about kesef? Does money serve as a means of acquisition? Now, I know what you're thinking. It's thinking, Schwartz, money makes the world go round. Right? Money, not Bitcoin. Bitcoin will collapse at some point. Don't think that... Correct? Who knows? We never thought it would get this far. Right? But money, the Gemara says, according to one opinion, money works to acquire metaltolin. But the Chachamim, rabbinically they said, that you cannot acquire movable items with money. So if I want to buy vegetables, when I give you the money, I don't own the vegetables yet. I acquire the vegetables when I pick them up. When I give the money, I don't acquire the vegetables. So here's the thing. How does giving money acquire, how do I acquire the oil when I give money? Right? The oil, the wicks, is metaltolin. Right? Here, look in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat. the second side of the sheet. Shochna Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Tzadiches. Devar Torah Ma'os Kanos. Min HaTorah Money Works. Chachomim Tiknu Shelo Yiknu Metautman Ela Bahagbo B'Mishicha. Dover Shein Darko Lahagbiya. The rabbis instituted that I can only acquire it by lifting it up, by pulling it, right? I can't use money. So what happens over here? So there's a few explanations that are given. You know, how come money does not work midrabanan? So the Gemara says it's a gezeira, shema yomru nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah. Let's say I sell you 1,000 pounds of wheat. And you give me money, right? So the wheat now is yours. But you didn't pick up the wheat, so it's still in my house. Then let's say there's a fire, and the fire destroys some of the wheat. So I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to say, Danny, I'm sorry. Your wheat, it's gone. Right? There's stuff that stayed over there, that's my wheat. Danny, your wheat, it's gone. No? And because of that, Chazal said, you know what? We don't want you to acquire wheat with money. Gezeirav nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah. But some poskim say, for a mitzvah, you are kona with money, no? Some poskim say, like in shul, we make an appeal for yayin l'kiddush l'havdolo. Right? And the appeal is give money to buy money. Money doesn't work. The answer is no. For mitzvah, the Rambam paskins money works. So maybe it will help over here because Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah. Maybe over here it will help because I'm buying a portion of something that's yours, but we own it together. So you can't say to me, Schwartz, your thing burned down because your thing is my thing. Right? That's another approach. But Rabbi Bleich, who is like the world's smartest man, Rabbi Bleich, I actually mean that. He's really smart. Rabbi Bleich argues that maybe when I give the money, I'm not purchasing the oil, but I'm purchasing a portion of your house. Money is kona karka. It's not kona metaltalan. When I give the money, I'm purchasing a portion of the house. Now Rabbi Bleich develops a whole theory. He argues that the house, the home, is central to the entire experience of Chanukah. You see, there is a source in the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, which is not quoted anywhere. You know, we know that the Greeks made all these decrees against the Jewish people. You can't study Torah, can't have Rosh Chodesh, no? These are the decrees that the Greeks made. The Rambam Perish HaMishnah adds a decree that the Greeks made, which is not found anywhere else, that the Greeks said you cannot close the door to your home. Now, I'm not sure what that means. But one thing it seems to mean is that you have to live life out in public. Mm. That you won't have anything private. And the Chachamim said, you know what? Because the Gezeirah of Chanukah was a Gezeirah against our private space, therefore the mitzvah of Chanukah is a mitzvah in the bayis. It's in the house. Mm. It's a mitzvah done in private space. By the way, we're living in a world now where increasingly private space is decreasing. No? The fact that people live their entire life on Facebook.
Some people.
Right? And every single thing that they do, besides the one thing that people don't write about on Facebook actually is, I just saw a study about this recently, about their divorce or their marital problems. People don't post that on Facebook. Interesting, though. People post when relatives die on Facebook, right? But they don't post. I don't know. It's something to think about. But you also don't post your salary on Facebook, usually. That, by the way, in our world, the craziest thing, people are more comfortable talking about what they do in the bedroom than they are talking about how much money they earn. If you ask somebody, like, how much money you earn, that's, like, the least polite... Isn't that amazing? That's, like, the least polite thing you could ask? It kind of... It's scary to think about. But Rabbi Bleich's argument is that the nature of Chanukah is a mitzvah on the house because of this gezeira that you couldn't have private space. We want to enforce our private space. And from that private space, we look outward and we influence the world. But first you need that home. First you need that private space. That's his argument. I think that's actually very elegant. And his understanding is, when I purchase, when I give the pruta, I'm purchasing a portion of your house.
That's the homeowner has less privacy.
What?
So the homeowner has less privacy.
Well, we're both homeowners now. It's like... We share.
It's a
right, I mean, correct. It is all a bit less private. That's an interesting...
But what is the duration of this ownership?
The duration of...
Of this ownership.
So apparently each night I have to contribute a little bit more. How much oil you have to give me is a discussion. The Elie Rabbi says, when I have to purchase half an hour worth of oil, and the homeowner should add more oil to his or her menorah for me. Others say, no, it's just a small symbolic amount. Again, that also might have to do with this question. If I'm purchasing enough that I should be Yotze, I need enough to be Yotze. But if really you're doing it for me, so I just need a symbolic tiny amount of ownership, no? And it's not real ownership. We could argue that this idea of a pruta does not convey any genuine ownership. And I'm just symbolically purchasing something. There was some funny case that happened in Eretz Yisrael years ago that, like, everyone and their uncle decided to write tshuvas about. The case is as follows. A guest contributes to Chanukah candles, right, to the oil, and then somebody, some doofus, goes and walks by the menorah while it's burning, knocks it down, and it starts a fire, and it burns down an apartment. Does the guest who contributed the money for some of the oil, or for the apartment, or whatever, have to pay for the damage?
It's the doofus who has to pay.
So the doofus has to pay, yes and no, right? If something is like a complete onus, so you're exempt, but the owner of the candle is responsible to guard, I'm responsible to guard my fire. And if my fire damages, I have to pay. So, who has to pay? Does the Achzanai, does the guest who contributed have to pay for the damage that the Neres Chanukah caused? Now it depends what type of ownership you have, no? If you own a portion of that house, presumably you don't own anything in the candles, you don't have to pay. If it's just symbolic ownership, so then you don't have to pay. If it's real ownership of half an hour's worth of oil, saying you, right? Which half hour? But it doesn't matter because now I own some of the fire, I have to pay. Right? This is, again, and everybody was like fighting about this case. It's really, it's an interesting dimension to think about. But effectively, the machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik is a machlokas Trumas Hadeshah Beis Yosef about, does Mahadra mean you light your own candle? And it's a separate mitzvah. Does Mahadra mean qualitatively you enhance the original mitzvah? And if you assume that you have to contribute money, so how that contribution of money works, that's also a very real question. And thank you for listening. Okay. Right. It's a host. So there's a few words in Hebrew and Aramaic that mean two almost opposite things. So lisharesh means to put roots in and to uproot. Right, there are words that mean
like cleave.
Cleave, yeah.
Cleave, right. It means to break open or to attach to. Right, there's it exists in a few different languages. I think it's the same type of thing here. Okay, Chanukah Sameach.